Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, August 26, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Fed officials take a hawkish stance ahead of Jay Powell's Jackson Hole speech.
A judge orders Twitter to hand more data to Elon Musk as their legal battle continues.
Dell and Salesforce slide as more tech companies report tighter times ahead.
The first MTA hearing on congestion pricing in Manhattan is in the books. Plus, we should see soon a redacted affidavit to search Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. 20 hits for the Yankees. An easy win at Oakland. Jacob DeGrom pitched the Mets to victory over Colorado.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 15 points. Dow futures down 74, and NASDAQ futures down 70. 10-year Treasury down 13/32, yield 3.07%. The yield on the two-year, 3.38%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%. Nathan.
Karen, it's the event Wall Street and global markets have been awaiting all week. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell delivers his speech at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium. Bloomberg's Tom Keene is covering the event for us. Good morning, Tom.
Karen and Nathan, of course, all eyes on Chairman Powell. This will be a different speech, widely anticipated. They all are. But what's different this time is the stakes on interest rate policy. What's widely understood is it's not just a speech. It's a few and key reports that we're going to see into September and that important Fed meeting. So it's not just the speech. It's the data reports, but it's also the news around the world, the idea of what's going on in Europe and China flat on their back. All around the world, we'll be watching Chairman Powell this morning.
Certainly will. Thanks for that, Tom. And please tune in to Bloomberg Radio and Television this morning, starting at 7 a.m. Wall Street time for a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance for complete live coverage from Jackson Hole. We'll speak with St. Louis Fed Chief James Bullard, Patrick Harker, who heads the Philadelphia Fed, and Atlanta Fed Chief Raphael Bostic, all leading up to Jay Powell's address. And you can hear that live starting at 10 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio and TV.
Well, Nathan, central bankers speaking at Jackson Hole so far have sounded hawkish. Kansas City Fed President Esther George, who hosts the event, shared her view on Bloomberg Television.
Very important that we are clear in our communication about the destination we're headed. And I think that destination is important, which is we have to get interest rates higher to slow down demand and bring inflation back to our target.
Kansas City Fed President Esther George also said there was more room to go when asked how high the Fed should push borrowing costs.
Well, markets will be looking for any sort of signals Powell might give, Karen, when it comes to rate hikes in his speech. BMO Capital Markets senior economist Jennifer Lee does not think the Fed chair will change his recent guidance.
I think he's going to stay on the hawkish track. I don't know why he would change his tone so quickly. Yes, we've had some weaker, you know, economic data, especially on the housing front. We finally saw some pullback on the headline inflation, but, you know, it's going to be far, far too soon to ring the dovish bell.
BMO senior economist Jennifer Lee says the next major event for the Fed to watch is the CPI report coming out in 3 weeks.
Well, just as Powell's speech begins, Nathan, we'll be getting key economic reports, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has the details.
In early August, the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index hovered near a record low, and today's figures on late August aren't expected to be much better. Bloomberg Economics says Americans recognize there will be challenging months just ahead, even with today's rising wages and low unemployment. Also on today's data calendar, government figures on July consumer spending, and it could be tepid with inflation running hot. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Overseas stocks in Asia rose, helped by the tech sector after talks between Beijing in Washington to avoid the delisting of companies in New York were said to show signs of progress.
Well, to geopolitics now, Nathan. Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn became the third American dignitary to visit Taiwan this month. Senator Blackburn held several meetings there, including with Taiwan's president.
The opportunity to talk with her about hopes, dreams, plans, and approaches for Taiwan and how they retain their independence.
Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn said the U.S. will continue to support Taiwan's independence.
Back at home, Karen, President Biden campaigned for Democrats in Maryland yesterday ahead of November's midterms, and he aimed his attacks on former President Trump and what he called ultra-MAGA Republicans.
MAGA Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights and economic security. They're a threat to our very democracy. They refuse to accept the will of the people. They embrace political violence.
President Biden also said the so-called MAGA philosophy is semi-fascism.
And in corporate news now, Nathan, a couple tech companies releasing bleak earnings and falling at the close yesterday. Dell Technologies gave a revenue forecast that fell short of estimates, and Salesforce also slipped after its quarterly revenue also missed analyst estimates. Dell shares are down about 4.3% this morning.
And to Twitter now, Karen, in its battle with Elon Musk, a judge has ordered the social media giant to hand over info. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Yesterday, Delaware Chancery Court Judge Kathleen McCormick ruled Twitter must turn over information about 9,000 accounts it surveyed last year. She wants the company to identify which had human beings attached to them. McCormick says Twitter also must produce documents sufficient to show how those 9,000 accounts were selected for review. At a Wednesday hearing, Elon Musk's lawyers accused their Twitter counterparts of stonewalling them on the bot information. Musk believes that gives him reason to exit his bid for the platform. Live in Washington, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Another quick corporate note. Pharmaceutical giant Merck's pursuit to buy cancer drug maker Seagen has stalled, threatening Merck's biggest deal in more than a decade. The companies have reportedly failed to agree on a price to this point. S&P futures are down 16 points right now. Dow futures down 82. NASDAQ futures are lower by 75 points. 10-year Treasury is down 14 30 seconds. The yield 3.07%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.38%. NYMEX crude is up 1.3%, up $1.19 to $93.71 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $11.1760.40 an ounce. The euro 1.003 against the dollar. The yen 136.92. Looking at Bitcoin right now, it is down 1%, trading around $21,400. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street, 76 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with the accident westbound Grand Central Airport at Ditmars Boulevard. We'll get you the latest details in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The first hearing is in the books about the MTA's congestion pricing plan in Manhattan. Hundreds of people on both sides signed up to speak on the matter. The plan could cost drivers in Manhattan south of 60th Street as much as $23 during rush hour. The MTA says it was designed to lessen traffic congestion by as much as 20%. Last evening's public hearing was the first of six. We may soon learn more about what made the Justice Department search former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. The DOJ is submitting a redacted version by noon of the affidavit out of concerns for the safety of the witnesses, legal expert Lori Levinson.
It does look like the court felt that this was something of such great public interest that to the extent that the court could release information that did not compromise an ongoing investigation, it was inclined to do so. And of course, there's great public attention on what happened here, why the Department of Justice went so far to get a warrant to search the ex-president's Mar-a-Lago residence.
Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson. The NYPD says a man was fatally stabbed early this morning in Hell's Kitchen. It happened at 8th Avenue and West 44th Street. A 49-year-old man with a history of menacing people was stabbed in a dispute, according to the police. The 28-year-old suspect claims it was in self-defense. California's Air Quality Regulation Board voted yesterday to halt the sale of gas-powered cars by 2035. The board says it would dramatically lower emissions and air pollutants. Governor Gavin Newsom.
This is the architecture for completely decarbonizing our economy, changing the way we produce and consume energy, and it's the architecture for economic power, not just electric power.
Governor Newsom says one-tenth of all cars sold in the U.S. are to Californians. However, not everyone is on board with the change. Tom Becker says he doubts electric vehicles will be reliable enough even by that time.
Battery failures in electric vehicles are very common, and guess what? These people are not going to honor their battery warranties. They don't honor them now. You can have a battery failure in these electric vehicles that'll cost $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
Tom Becker was among those who spoke at the hearing. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Good start to the Yankees' 10-game road trip. They're in Oakland. That's a team that is just 20-42 at home. The Yanks teed off on the A's. 20 hits. They were up 10-0 in the fourth inning. The final was 13-4. 3 hits for the red-hot Andrew Benintendi. 3 for Josh Donaldson. 3 hits, 3 RBIs for rookie Oswaldo Cabrera. Plenty of run support for Jameson Taillon to get his team-leading 12th win. Gerrit Cole starts tonight. Nestor Cortes was to start tomorrow, but he was placed on the injured list. Strained groin, not believed to be a serious injury. Giancarlo Stanton came off the IL. He was back in the Yankee lineup last night. As for the Mets, Jacob deGrom, a lot of times in his career, has gotten no run support. He doesn't need a lot, and he got all he needed with one swing of the bat.
Real pitch. Fastball hit high in the air, deep to left field. Forget about it. That's way out of here. Off the facing of the second deck. Pete Alonso demolishes a two-run homer, and the Mets now lead 3-0 in the bottom of the third inning.
On WCBS, 31st home run for Alonso. He's got 104 RBIs. The Mets beat the Rockies 3-1 as DeGrom went 6 innings, gave up just 3 hits, struck out 9. The Mets now with a 2-game lead on the Braves. U.S. Open begins Monday. It's all about Serena Williams, and she learned her first round opponent in this, her career-ending tournament, will be Danka Kovinic from Montenegro, ranked 80th in the world. Meanwhile, the unvaccinated Novak Djokovic made it official. Not playing, not allowed to fly into the U.S. Tour Championship Golf in Atlanta, 65 for world number one Scottie Scheffler. He's got a 5-shot lead. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John Stashower. S&P futures right now down 17 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures are lower by 75 points. 10-year treasuries down 14, 30 seconds. The yield very close to 3.08%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunshine, some showers and storms developing this afternoon with highs in the upper 80s. We'll be in the upper 80s all weekend long. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds. Sunday, sunshine. Right now, 76 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest-cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at ibkr.com/RIA. Up first, Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell's address at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium this morning. Kansas City Fed President Esther George hosts the event, and she says once rates get higher, they may have to stay there for a while.
We have more room to go. That we would bring those rates down quickly, and I've seen that in some of the forecasts, seems a bit remarkable to me. I think we will have to hold.
And Kansas City Fed President Esther George spoke with Bloomberg yesterday. Tune into Bloomberg Radio and TV this morning starting at 7 a.m. Wall Street time for a special edition of Surveillance. We'll have live interviews with St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, Patrick Harker, who heads the Philadelphia Fed, and Atlanta Fed Chief Raphael Bostic, all leading up to Jay Powell's address. You can hear Powell's speech live at 10 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio and TV.
Well, to politics now, Karen. President Biden campaigned for Democrats in Maryland yesterday ahead of November's midterms. He aimed his attacks on former President Trump and what he called ultra-mega Republicans.
We must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving America than the MAGA Republicans are destroying America.
And President Biden said the so-called MAGA philosophy is semi-fascism.
Meanwhile, overseas, Nathan, Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn became the third American dignitary to visit Taiwan this month. She met with Taiwan's president and said the U.S. will continue to support its independence.
In corporate news this morning, Twitter has some developments in its battle with Elon Musk, and Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live. Renita?
Nathan, yesterday, Delaware Chancery Court Judge Kathleen McCormick ruled Twitter must turn over information about 9,000 accounts it surveyed last year. She wants the company to identify which had human beings attached to them. McCormick says Twitter also must produce documents sufficient to show those how those 9,000 accounts were selected for review. At a Wednesday hearing, Elon Musk lawyers accused their Twitter counterparts of stonewalling them on the bot's information. Musk believes that gives him reason to exit his bid for the platform. Live in Washington, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. And another quick corporate note, tech giants Dell and Salesforce fell at the close yesterday after missing analyst estimates. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And futures are lower this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 76 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with the accident on the Grand Central Parkway at Ditmars Boulevard. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Police activity early this morning at West 44th and 8th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen is from a fatal stabbing. According to the NYPD, a 49-year-old man with a history of menacing people was fatally stabbed in a fight. The suspect, a 28-year-old man, claims it was in self-defense. He was taken into custody. The first of six public hearings was last night about the MTA's congestion pricing plan in Manhattan. Hundreds of people on both sides signed up to speak on the matter during the virtual meeting.
Yet we're expected to pay for your bloated and out-of-control agency.
7ABC with the audio. The plan could cost drivers in parts of Manhattan as much as $23 during rush hour. The MTA says it was designed to lessen traffic congestion by as much as 20%. The Justice Department is set to release a heavily blacked out document explaining the justification for an FBI search of Donald Trump's Florida estate earlier this month when agents removed top secret government records. The document, expected by noon, is likely to offer at least some new details. Justice Department officials are expected to have removed sensitive details about witnesses and the scope and direction of the probe. Legal expert Lori Levinson.
There's been an effort by the media and by Donald Trump to get more information from the affidavit, but the government has resisted that in part because they have an ongoing investigation. However, it does look like there's at least a compromise, that there's more information regarding the investigation of Donald Trump and his possession of classified information that the public will get in the near future.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson. California regulators approved a plan to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars by the year 2035. Governor Gavin Newsom calls it a historic win against climate change.
In California, this is a game changer as it relates to the environment. There's nothing else that will move the needle on greenhouse gases more than tailpipe emissions. About 41% of emissions in California come out of the tailpipe.
Governor Newsom spoke to ABC. New York State began accepting applications to open its first legal recreational pot shops. It's reserving about 150 retail dispensary licenses for people with past pot convictions or their relatives. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has a Bloomberg Sports update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees, with as many wins in their last four games as they had in the first 21 days of August, they made it four in a row. The first three were all by the same score of 4-2 last night in Oakland. It was 13-4, a 20-hit attack. No home runs, but three hits, three RBIs for rookie Oswaldo Cabrera. Yanks got Giancarlo Stanton back in the lineup, and it was an easy win for Jameson Taillon. The Yanks led 10-0 in the fourth inning. The Mets back at Citi Field, started a long homestand. They beat Colorado 3-1. Six strong innings from Jacob deGrom. One for Edwin Diaz. They played the trumpet song for Diaz in the eighth inning. That left the ninth for Adam Ottavino. Pete Alonso had the big hit. He had a two-run homer in the third.
It's important to win every game, whether you're playing the Yankees or the Rockies or whoever, or the Phillies. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just that we need to do our job every single day. come up and execute a plan, come up and play together as a team. So we did a really good job of that tonight. Pitching was great. We did enough as an offense to score enough runs and win the game.
And the Mets lead the Braves now by two. The Jets in 2020 drafted wideout Denzel Mims in the second round. He has fallen on the Jets' depth chart, and now Mims is asked to be traded. The Jets and Giants will play Sunday afternoon, MetLife. The two New York teams just had a joint practice. Daniel Jones was impressive, going 14-15, but Giants linebacker Aziz Ojulari limped off the field with a leg injury. U.S. Open begins Monday. Novak Djokovic made it official. He's unvaccinated. He's not allowed to fly into the U.S. to play. Golf in Atlanta. Scottie Scheffler took a big step towards an $18 million paycheck. He began the Tour Championship with a two-shot lead based on leading the standings, and now he leads by five. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market and the pre-Chair Powell speech. We're joined now by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Looking at earnings again, Kriti.
I know. It kind of feels like earnings season is not quite ending.
Yeah.
This one just keeps dragging on, but perhaps some good news as we are in a wait and see mode. On the surface, Nathan, I would say things are pretty calm on the macro front. Once again, no one making any big moves. But then underneath, you look at the micro and you are seeing some big moves. We'll start with Dell here. D-E-L-L is your ticker. Shares are down about 5% in the pre-market. This comes after their earnings picture, which, by the way, looks actually pretty good. Their revenue forecast did, however, fall short of estimates, but their second quarter sales did come in stronger. Enterprise spending fueling about 9% of growth there. Dell, however, declining after this comment. Executives signaling tighter times ahead. They're saying they're observing more cautious customer behavior as the quarter progressed. And of course, they're saying that that's only going to get worse as we see more and more challenges throughout the end of the year.
And some other earnings as well from Workday. A pretty strong move there as well.
A pretty strong move. WDAY is the ticker that you want to keep an eye on. Shares are actually up 11%. They were up as much as 12% earlier in the session, so seeing a little bit of volatility in Workday shares. This comes after the application software company, of course, reported earnings like we were talking about, and they topped them, and they topped them by quite a bit. Remember, Nathan, one of the key themes right now is not just about consumer spending, but about business investment as well. And that's why companies like Dell and Workday, and we're going to talk about Affirm in a second, are so important, because it's a lot of corporate America, the other kind of fuel of spending, actually putting their money to work. And for a long time, they weren't. So to see that slowing down once again is not good news for Dell. But then it is good, perhaps coming in better from Workday. Analysts saying that the Workday beat was solid all around, but they are, however, seeing a little bit more of a slowdown here. The good news for them is that it's the back-to-office modernization that is driving the demand, essentially something you're seeing in cloud companies as well, that a lot of people are saying, now that we're back in the office, we're going to update our systems, et cetera. Nathan, I mentioned Affirm as well. AFRM is the ticker you want to keep an eye on. This is actually another downside story, down about 13% in the pre-market. Their sales forecast for 2023 coming out quite mediocre and missing the average analyst estimate. So a pretty bad cherry on top of a pretty bad sundae.
Although we got some pretty good news from another apparel company. Kind of interesting here, given some of the mixed results we've seen from retail chains.
Yeah, we'll quickly hit this one. GPS is your ticker for Gap shares. They are actually up 7.3%. This is coming after they reported a surprise profit and improving sales trend. Huge when we're talking about the retail sector and the buildup of inventories.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is always staying really busy during the prolonged earnings season. Looking ahead to the market open and Chairman Powell's speech, futures as a whole moving lower. We have S&P futures right now down 17 points, Dow futures down 93, NASDAQ futures are lower by 72 points, 10-year treasuries down 13.30 seconds, the yield 3.07%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine with some showers and storms this afternoon. We'll get up to near 90 degrees, upper 80s, mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. Sunny for Sunday with a high near 90 once again. Right now, 76 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are slipping. Treasuries are retreating as a chorus of Federal Reserve hawks prepare the ground for a much-anticipated speech by Chair Jerome Powell that's set to shape views on the pace of monetary tightening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 17 points. Dow futures down 85. NASDAQ futures down 74. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 15 30 seconds. Yield 3.08%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.38%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2%, up $1.11 at $93.63 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7%, or $11.60 at $17.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.0013 against the dollar. British pound 1.1839, and the yen 136.92. Looking at Bitcoin this morning, it's lower, down about 1.1% now at $21,420. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A federal judge says the Justice Department has until noon to release an affidavit used to justify the FBI search of former President Trump's Florida home. The judge says he's accepted the Justice Department's redactions and reasons for blacking out information about witnesses, agents, and uncharged parties in the document. A major nuclear power plant in Ukraine was temporarily cut off from the electricity grid. The Zaporizhia nuclear plant occupied by the Russians went offline, causing a blackout in the region, and has caused more fears of a nuclear disaster. In baseball, the Yankees beat the A's 13-4. The Mets beat the Rockies 3-1. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles won. Thursday night NFL preseason action, the 49ers lost to the Texans 17-0. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Just a little more than 3.5 hours away now from Fed Chair Jay Powell's keynote address at the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium. Ahead of that, we are joined now by David Rosenberg, the president and chief economist of Rosenberg Research and Associates. David, what will we hear from Jay Powell today?
Well, I think we're probably going to hear that he's going to explain what data dependency really means. It took him so long to explain what transitory meant. And I think today he will lay bare what data dependency meant, of course, a term that he brought up at the last FOMC meeting that might have been misconstrued. So I think he's going to basically say that, the battle against inflation has not been won yet, and data dependency on this regard means more than just 1 month of relatively benign CPI and core CPI prints, that the Fed's going to have to see a string of these sorts of numbers and convince that we are on the road back towards the 2% holy grail target. So I think that's what we'll hear more from him about, fleshing out what data dependency really means.
Is that the right definition of data dependency, given that the Federal Reserve got transitory inflation apparently wrong?
Well, it all depends your definition of transitory, because there is no real definition in terms of a timestamp. As it turns out, transitory really meant 16 months of accelerating inflation. I think that inflation, the trend has broken. It's very interesting to me that the New York Fed, really on the eve of the Jackson Hole symposium, comes out and says that the supply bottleneck measures have receded to their lowest levels in January 2021. Now, it wasn't just supply measures that caused the inflation, but all the demand stimulus that precipitated the inflation, especially the fiscal and monetary stimulus, is in the rearview mirror. But the bottom line is that the Fed is embarrassed. They're ashamed. They did miss, even if transitory meant 16 months, they missed it. And so the clock is going to rewind the other way. They are going to overdo the tightening as they overdid the stimulus. And the FOMC minutes that came out recently showed very clearly that the Fed is willing to put the economy as a sacrificial lamb in terms of demand destruction to get the inflation down to where they want it. And I think that's what comes out of all this. So I think, look, the bottom line is that, you're asking me about what Powell's going to say. He's had all his FOMC brethren come out, the biggest doves, whether it's Kashkari or it's Daly or it's Evans, never mind Bullard and the rest of them. They're all talking very hawkishly. So his colleagues on the FOMC, you've already blazed the trail for what's going to be, I think, a rather hawkish rhetoric today coming out of his speech.
What's it going to take then for the Fed to pivot from a hawkish stance to something more dovish? What data are they going to be depending on?
I think they have to see a string. is it 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months? That's sort of a string of deciding very low, like the old days, 0.1, 0.2 prints, not just on the CPI, but the core CPI. We know the CPI is going to be contained because of what's happened on the energy side. And I think if we get several months of these sorts of numbers, that puts them on hold. Outside of that, look, they're putting everything on the economy. All their cards on the table come down to the labor market. They are worshiping at the altar non-farm payrolls. They don't trust the household survey, small sample, tends to be volatile. They're looking at the job openings from the JOLTS survey. I think that once you start to see negative prints, if we start to see negative prints in non-farm payrolls, the game is over. So that would be the other data release that would cause them to go on hold.
Just about 30 seconds left here, David. Does the Fed get back to a 2% inflation target, or do we need to be looking at a new floor for inflation?
I don't see that's the case. I know everybody says that. Everybody says that service sector pricing is sticky. You know, the rental measures. The rental measures are imputed. They will ultimately adjust with a lag. But I think that the overall price level is going to be a lot higher. The cost structure is going to be a lot higher. But inflation is a rate of change. It's not a level. So I really do believe that more quickly than what the markets have priced in, that inflation is going to come very quickly. Not the price level, but the rate of change is going to subside very sharply. And history, that even under Volcker, you know, and we have a modern-day Volcker on our hands right now. It came down. Now, I'm not saying in the next year, but in the next 2 years, inflation is going to come back down to target.
All right. Thanks for this, David. Great getting your thoughts ahead of Fed Chair Powell's speech. 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We'll have it live for you here on Bloomberg Radio. David Rosenberg, President and Chief Economist at Rosenberg Research and Associates, joining us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, some showers and storms developing this afternoon. We'll get up to near 90 degrees. We'll be in the upper 80s through the weekend with a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow and sunshine prevailing on Sunday. Right now, 76 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are falling this morning, and we go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red after yesterday's strong close, with Dow futures down 98 points, S&P's drop 18, and NASDAQ futures decline by 74. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.07%. Gold is down 11. Oil is in the green. And Bitcoin trading lower by 1%. Hong Kong jumped 1.1% overnight, while European markets are in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, personal income and PCE. And at 10 o'clock, Fed's Powell speaks at Jackson Hole. After the bell last night, Workday reported shares are up 11% pre-market, and Affirm Holdings is down 13%. In deal news, Merck's talks to acquire Seagen are said to hit a snag over price. And wrapping things up, Union Pacific was cut to neutral over at Daiwa. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. By noon, the Justice Department is set to release a heavily redacted affidavit explaining the justification for an FBI search of Donald Trump's Florida estate earlier this month. Agents removed top-secret government records and other classified documents. Russian President Vladimir Putin appears to be trying to replenish his military by ordering a 13% increase in the country's troop strength. Russian forces have suffered heavy losses in 6 months of war in Ukraine. In baseball, the Yankees beat the A's 13-4. The Mets beat the Rockies 3-1. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles won. Thursday night NFL preseason action. The 49ers lost to the Texans 17-0. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. NASA is aiming to use Boeing Starliner space vehicle for a crewed mission to the International Space Station as soon as February, according to the agency. The planned 8-day mission would be the Starliner's first with astronauts on board, a major milestone in its development, which has suffered several setbacks. Audi is joining Formula One in 2026 with hopes to bolster its brand. Formula One intends to switch to cars running on synthetic fuel as part of a plan to become carbon neutral by the end of the decade. The car maker will make a decision on which team to partner with by the end of the year. And Afghanistan's central bank imposed a nationwide ban on cryptocurrencies this month, and the Taliban has arrested several dealers who defied orders to stop trading digital tokens, according to a senior police official. The crackdown comes after some Afghans turned to crypto to preserve wealth and keep it out of the Taliban's reach. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden touting debt relief and climate wins in a test of his midterm message, a third congressional trip to Taiwan this month stirring China tensions, and the FBI's Trump search affidavit to be unsealed with redactions. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us now from our 99.1 studios in the nation's capital for more on all these stories. Emily, looks like the midterm campaign is officially underway now for President Biden.
Oh, yeah. I mean, certainly Biden has been trying to get out of D.C. and hit the campaign trail for a while now. But now he's really honing in on his message now that we're in the final stretch. He's casting the 2022 election as yet another battle for democracy. At a rally in Rockville, Maryland yesterday, he called Republicans semi-fascists and really kind of hit home the fact that it's calling a lot of the candidates extreme. He's also trying to tout a Democratic message of just a wide variety of things, preventing gun violence, allowing access to abortion, addressing climate change. Here's the thing, though, Nathan. Biden does still remain pretty unpopular with the American public. Only 41% of Americans approve of his job performance rating, according to 538. It's looking up at polls. That's slightly up from July, but overall, still pretty low. And the projection is that Republicans are still going to win the House in the November midterms. It's just previously it looked like they were going to win the House by a huge margin. Now it seems like that margin might be a little bit smaller.
Yeah, it does seem as though the momentum has shifted, particularly after that highly watched race in the Hudson Valley, New York, that focused on abortion rights. How are Republicans looking to try to regain some of their earlier momentum when they were focused so much on, you know, how rough the economy is right now?
So a lot of the Republicans' message still applies, right? Inflation is still at a historic high. There are still high prices in the grocery store and for rents and mortgages, even though gas prices have come down. And so Republicans can still point to those things and say, hey, look, you know, this is Biden's policies that have led us here, and we need someone new. Republicans also have an advantage. Midterms tend to be a little bit better for the party that's not currently in power. But Republicans also have their own struggles here. They have a number of their Senate candidates who are behind in the polls, who have dealt with a number of personal conflicts or have been under criticism for how they've run their campaigns. And now you've also got this whole affidavit that's being released today on the search warrant that the FBI used to search the Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. And so there's a lot of factors, I think, that are up in the air that we're really going to see how they play out in the next several months. But at this point, Democrats are basically looking at as good as they have all year. And they kind of have this new confidence boost that might not eventually let them keep both chambers of Congress, but could prevent them from facing massive Republican majorities.
And since you brought up the affidavit, let's talk about that now, because we are expecting at least a redacted affidavit from the Mar-a-Lago search to be released sometime this morning. What are you going to be looking for from that, Emily?
Yeah, so the federal judge has required that the Justice Department release it around noon, later than noon. So definitely going to keeping an eye out. It's a really good question, Nathan, as far as what you're going to be looking for. Certainly the big question is, why did the Justice Department, what is their investigation? What documents were they looking for? Is there a larger reason for this and for what they're investigating Trump? And I think we're going to see, try and at least get some answers from the affidavit. But remember, it's been redacted. The Department of Justice wanted to make sure that they weren't putting their entire investigation, which is still underway, into full view. And so there are going to be things that we're just not going to be able to access when this affidavit is released. Certainly, a lot of folks have been following this. There's obviously going to be a lot of analysis from Bloomberg about, you know, what we are and aren't learning. But there's still going to be a lot that's not quite clear because of those redactions that the Justice Department has asked for.
And I'm sure you're going to be looking for political impact as well, because former President Trump has really been trying to capitalize on the Mar-a-Lago search as he continues to figure out if and when he's going to announce another run for president.
Oh, absolutely, Nathan. I mean, this definitely goes into exactly how 2024 is going to be shaping up. You really saw the Republican Party come behind Trump and very much support him after the search warrant was initially executed. But at the same point, there's still a lot of questions about what this could mean for Trump. Is he going to wind up being charged with something? How is that going to impact his ability to run in 2024? So, again, just a lot of questions right now. Hopefully, there will be some answers at noon today when we do see that redacted affidavit released.
In our last minute or so here, Emily, let's close out on geopolitics. It seems like Taiwan has been the destination to go to if you're a member of Congress during this recess.
Oh, yeah. We are now in the third delegation of lawmakers going to Taiwan after Speaker Nancy Pelosi's historic trip earlier this month. I mean, honestly, Nathan, congressional delegations to Taiwan are not exactly rare. 150 House and Senate members have gone to Taiwan in the past decade, according to a Bloomberg analysis. Really, Pelosi going, though, it really led to a strong response from Beijing. You saw the planes, you saw the missile test, and that momentum has been kept up. You saw Senator Ed Markey lead a bipartisan delegation to Taiwan, and now you're seeing Senator Marsha Blackburn. She met on Friday morning with Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen. And it really shows, Nathan, the bipartisan nature of this. I mean, Blackburn's a Republican, Markey's a Democrat. You really kind of have this bipartisan support for Taiwan and this kind of willingness for lawmakers to go there, even though it has aggravated Beijing.
Yeah. Thanks for this. As always, Emily Wilkins of Bloomberg Government giving us all the latest on politics domestically and globally from the nation's capital. And you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. You'll want to keep it locked as we continue with on-site coverage of the Jackson Hole Symposium. That's actually getting underway once again in just minutes here with a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance live from Wyoming with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz ahead of Chairman Powell's keynote address in Jackson Hole. We'll have that for you live beginning right around 10 a.m. Wall Street time. And ahead of it, lots of Fed speakers will be speaking to the surveillance team. So keep it right here for full coverage of the Jackson Hole event. S&P futures right now down 18 points. Dow futures down 99. NASDAQ futures are lower by 72 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 12 32nds. The yield 3.07%. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. Have a great Friday. This is Bloomberg.